All right, how many is you've been getting that letter that we did and had time to go through it a little bit? Hallelujah. Barbara was sure excited about it. And I've got the finish of it again, and the last 10 pages or so. So I'm going to go into that just a little bit, because as we introduced another level or depth to the new nature last week, and I want to continue from that. But how many remembers when I first broke through and God visited me in my office, and I got my first look down the born again trail? And I can remember before the first camp meeting that I began to preach it. And it was Sue, I think, that asked me, "What are you going to teach on in the camp meeting?" And I said, "I'm going to preach on being born again." And it was to a bunch of preachers, you know. So Sue goes, "Yeah, right. Can't you see he's just kidding?" I was kind of lost in the spirit a little bit, just thinking about, you know, the revelation and how it was going to unfold. And it just come out of my spirit, the born or being born again. And of course, the born again trail was tagged on later. Woo! I'm not going to make it very far, am I? Hallelujah. But I remember when I was in that rapport with him, communing my heart and his answering everything as though the gift of faith was on me. And the communion was over. Everything he said I could have, and I related it to those great verses, "All things are possible to him that believeth." And I said, just where he is. You know, we know the Bible says that, but so few ever break into anything even similar to that. So I said, where is the verses that really makes the transition from just falling into the crowd and just having a normal, mediocre kind of operation with God? I'm not talking what men can accomplish in the natural. I'm talking about bringing God here. Just following into mediocrity, you know, complacency, and just beaten into submission by pressure until you just finally give up. But where are those verses? And that's when he told me they're in most of the verses that people leave out. And as you know, the born again trail consists of most of the pieces that's been left out of the walks that everybody's given to us. It's not particularly that it's so great, but it's the pieces that are left out. So you begin to understand what you have and where you can go, and how to fellowship with God and what he's after, and the part of me that can understand him. So you know, the limit's off. The limit's off. I get to go as far as I want to in God. And boy, was I having a good time up there, because that presence that comes from touching him with your spirit, that presence, I found out there was healing in it. Hallelujah. And I've been having the greatest, the most fun with that healing that's in that presence when it comes. I say, "Hey, come over here." And they get healed. You know, and this one man brought his fiance, I think. And she'd never been in a service where people fall down. You know, and so he got there, and they was up fellowshipping with her friends. And he brought her over and said she had kidney problems. She had a pain in her kidneys then. I had it all the time. So I said, "Well, you better come over here." And he came, you know. He just filled the whole atmosphere there. And he came and he took all her pain. But meanwhile, she fell down on the ground. Her knees buckled and she fell. And so later when she got up, I said, "Do you know about the falling down and everything?" She says, "No." And I said, "Well, why did you fall down then?" She says, "I don't know." But she was healed. She was healed, see. Well, we were finding out that the devil reigns through that death nature, the same way God reigns through a new nature. That he used the fear of death to reign over the human race. And it's no harder for Satan to get a man that has the sin nature to sin than it is to get a swarm of piranhas to eat a cow after you throw him in the Amazon. That's the nature of sin. So he used it, the fear of death. He used it to manipulate the human race. So he kept giving us answers that was not answers, such as Buddhism and Mohammedism, and all these things that promise us some life after death because of the fear of death. Well, it's spiritual death that Satan uses to reign with. That's where he gets his power. Well, thank God, where God reigns through us is in that hidden man of the heart, the spirit man. He reigns through us with that new nature. Just the same way as the sin nature moved on us and we obeyed it on different levels, from Hitler's to nice tax-paying citizens that keep the law, have their beer bus, run their four-wheel drives at each other, cuss a lot. They're just good old boys who take care of their families, you know. But they yield to the sin nature in all degrees. It just depends who got a hold of you and trained you. Like the little grandmas that baked bread and sent little Hans off to war, didn't know what was going on in the war until they sent them into the concentration camps as part of the cleanup program, made the grandmas, made them. Look at the heaps of bodies piled up, starved to death. Made them look, and they were nauseated and sick, but not little Hans, who they baked bread for and sent off to war when he was 13, not little Hans. Yeah, he'd already been trained in the fathomless depths of that unregenerated sin nature. They were over joking and eating and things while the little grandmas were throwing up. They had their spirit just trained, it just didn't bother them. All of you that had a sin nature, you had that same capacity. So that sin nature would move. It would move on our reasonings and our mind and get us to obey it on one level or the other. But now, my new nature is moving on my mind on one level or another, and it's my decision. It's my decision. I'm a free will moral agent. How much I want to yield to it. But the more I pray in the Holy Ghost, the more I turn that new nature loose in my soul, and the more my decisions are based on how free that I am in that new nature. So I can just sit in church and barely make it into church, barely make it into heaven, and then barely make it into church, and then barely get out of bed. You know, you're a free will moral agent. He will not. It is your choice what you want to do with what he gave you. Your choice. Absolutely your choice. So you can yield to that new nature moving on you on any level you want and stop any level. You can enter into heaven with nothing more than when you was born again, just sitting around in church. And I'm okay, I'm going to church. Yeah, you're okay as far as making it to heaven, but you're not okay. You need a good dose of what it feels like to lose your reward. That's what you need. See, you can just sit there, you know, or you can yield to it and conquer, reign through righteousness. I love this stuff. How many is going to reign? I happen to know I am. Well, how do you know you are? Because he said I am. I have what I say. Hallelujah. Look out, devil. You already had your time with me. It's my turn. I'm going to get so much of God, I'm going to make you turn loose of my friends. I mean, with disease and everything else. In fact, I'm going to make you turn loose of a whole lot of the population of humanity. Devil, I don't like you very much. I plan on taking a lot of your friends away from you. Glory be to God. Forever. All right, you remember where we wound up. But when King Solomon was at his fullness, he was something to behold. Even Jesus made reference to his wisdom. And under the shadow, the wisdom that King Solomon reigned with was a type of what the new nature is to your born-again spirit. The Queen of the South, who was not lacking in wisdom herself and ruled a whole kingdom, when she heard the wisdom of Solomon, there was no more spirit left in her. There was not even a microfiber of anything anywhere in her entire being that did not totally succumb to a wisdom so strong. It did not just leave her surrendered. It left her stunned. In 2 Chronicles 9, 3 and 4, or 3 through 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel, his cupbearers also and their apparel, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord to worship him, there was no more spirit in her. She said unto the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land of thine acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not their words until I came, and my eyes had seen it and beheld the one half of your greatness, and thy wisdom was not told me. For thou exceeded even the fame that I had heard. Happy are the men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and hear thy wisdom." One, when I was meditating on this, I says, "God, what's in these few verses for me here about your servants, and happy are they stand in your presence for 10, 11 hours. Just happy attendants that get within hearing distance of Solomon. They just wanted to stand there 10 or 11 hours just to hear what was coming out of his mouth. Just to hear." And he operated in the shadow of the rebirth, and not in the rebirth itself. Again, the wisdom Solomon reigned with was to Solomon's kingdom what the new nature is to your born-again spirit. So reign with him, why don't you? Why don't you reign with him? Hallelujah. When I said these servants were happy, yes, they are. They're exceedingly happy. I said, "Well, why particularly just hearing a guy's wisdom 10 or 11 hours a day? Wouldn't you kind of get..." He said, "Son, let me ask you something. How many preachers do you know that you could sit in their presence that long every day just to want to hear what they had to say?" I said, "None." I get tired of myself. So I went on to explain. "Tim, your spirit's not like your body. If you quit feeding your body, it will die. But if you quit feeding your spirit, it will continue to exist. It does not need sustenance to survive. It is eternal and self-existing. If you do not feed your spirit, it will not quit existing. It will quit developing. You can be the same place spiritually your whole lifetime as you were when you were first saved, if you do not feed your spirit. The only reason our rewards will be different in heaven is not because the difference in our calls. But because all of us received the same thing when we were born again, and at the high price of our individuality, we choose what we'll do with it. There is something about our will and the right to choose that God values as high as anything else that He does in all creation. And if you think that all of us are going to get to heaven as generic little copies of each other with no individuality, think again. If we did not have the power to choose more or less of God, then the reward would all be the same. But it is not. Before I was born again, I inherited a sin nature from the first man, Adam. I did not inherit Adam's individual human spirit, but I did inherit the spiritual death that was in his spirit. Adam has his own spirit, I have mine. And after I was born again, I did not inherit Jesus' individual human spirit, but what I did inherit was the spiritual life that was in His spirit. Jesus has His own spirit. I have mine. But what I did receive from Him was a new nature. But as individual as I was when I had a sin nature is how individual I am now that I have a new nature. The same way the old nature would move on my emotions and reasonings to sin, the new nature now moves on my emotions and reasonings to do righteous works. All sinners move on different levels of sin as they respond to the sin nature, from good, productive, taxpaying citizens to the overcrowded conditions of our penal systems. And in the same way that all believers respond on different levels to the new nature, from those who serve themselves all the way to those who have given their whole lives as servants of God, our individually is still intact. We're just being influenced by another nature. Hallelujah. The only part of us that the Holy Spirit has to work with is our new nature, and is the only part of us that can understand spiritual things and grow in God. And the reason our spirits can grow in God is because God is a spirit, and He has given us a nature like His own. So when He wants to teach us something, He can do so by getting us to understand the things of His nature by using the new nature He gave us to understand it with. This is why 2 Peter 1 and 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these exceeding great precious promises you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So this means I can understand His Word, because His Word makes me a partaker of His divine nature, because I have a new nature to partake of it with. Hallelujah. I tell you, I can't hardly stand this. This is the reason the Holy Spirit bypassed your mind, your emotions, and baptized your spirit. And when He begins to nurture your spirit and bring forth your new nature, the joy and the peace and the faith will be the dominant factor of your individuality as the new nature moves on you to make godly choices to serve God and to be filled with His power and His glory. And Tim, if I ever lived in any kind of godly fear, it would be to miss this prayer and power conference. There's a new and stronger anointing than ever before. I have found that if you can touch God with your spirit, everything heaven is and everything heaven has can flow through you. The principle of the sower overtaking the reaper is a precious operation of God's grace. It has taken me 27 years to learn about precious things that cannot be earned. And in a conference like this, I can sow 27 years of harvest into your field so that you can take my harvest. so you can overtake my harvest in a much shorter time. Hey, my greatest year, we averaged born again 4,000 a week. So come on. I'm waiting for your dust. Oh, you were here when we did it, so you were part of it. Hallelujah. I never had so much fun translating revelation knowledge to parables that you could understand as I did in this letter and this teaching. Something that's hard to understand is that new nature. It's not my brain. It's not my mind. It's not my intellect. It's not my emotion. It's a nature. It is a nature. And it is a nature that gives me a capacity to understand God. Now, when Mama Goldfish adopted baby piranha, she tried to teach baby piranha the ways of the goldfish. But baby piranha was having a whole lot of trouble understanding what Mama Goldfish was talking about. When she tried to teach him how to make goldfish houses, layers, nests that goldfish live in, he could hear her words. He understood what she was saying with his brain, but he just couldn't discern what she was talking about. So finally she says, "I just don't know what I'm going to do with you. You keep having your friends for lunch. The neighborhood's afraid of you." And finally, they found out that Mother Piranha wasn't dead, and Mother Piranha got to come back and claim little baby piranha. And so, of course, adopted Mother Goldfish was kind of glad about all this. So little baby piranha says, "You're my mama?" "Yes, I am, son." "Mama Piranha, what big teeth you have. You're not like baby, my Mama Goldfish. Her mouth was round and bubbles came out of it." I didn't understand her. "Where are we going, Mama Piranha?" "Oh, we're going down and we're swimming underneath the fence. We're going to the river because there's a bunch of cows that live down there. We're going to hang around with the other and we're going to wait for one of them. In fact, we're just going to really pray that one of those cows will fall in the water. Then what are we going to do, Mama?" "We're going to tear all the flesh off its bones and eat it." "Oh, yeah. I can understand that. Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I don't know how, but my mouth's already watering. I know exactly what you want because I can understand what you're saying." Why? Because baby piranha has the nature of a piranha. Therefore, he can understand the ways of a piranha. So he knows exactly what his mama is saying. Well, when you were born again, you received the nature of God. Now you can know the things of God that are freely given to you because they're spiritually discerned. There's a part of you that can understand God. Now he can teach you because you can understand him. He said spiritually discerned. Discerned is more than knowledge. Discerned is much more than knowledge. Knowledge you can have in your brain. But to discern means that you understand why it is the way that it is. It's not just knowledge. So now we'll understand these verses better than we have before. better than ever before. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Now, we're heading towards a certain part in here, so I'm not going to stop to clarify a bunch of these previous verses, which I've clarified relentlessly in days past. So we're making another pass now. So let's just go ahead and begin. The third verse of the second chapter. And follow me close now. He says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How be it," analytical word, "we speak wisdom among them that are mature or perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, or the wisdom that we got from this world, nor from the kings and the rulers or the princesses of this world, that always come to nothing at the end of their generation and their reign." He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world was unto our glory, which was the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory." But notice, backing up in this seventh verse again, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom." Well, he called it the hidden wisdom because it used to be hidden in God on the other side of spiritual death. But the Apostle Paul went into God and pulled that mystery out of God, the mystery of who Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And so now that wisdom that was once hid in God, Paul is able now to speak that hidden wisdom to you. Well, at one time it was hidden a mystery, but he went into God and brought that mystery back and now can speak that wisdom which was hidden, that mystery, to you because you're born again and it is not hid on the other side of spiritual death, because you and I now have a capacity to understand it. Somebody stop me. Well, you still have time. I'm growing every day. You're going to stop me. You better do it early. Seventh verse again. "We speak the wisdom of God." It was in a mystery. It was hidden, that mystery, that hidden wisdom, which God ordained, which is the salvation of the world through Christ Jesus, and to our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. Had they known it, they'd have not crucified the Lord of glory. So he said, all their kingdoms come to naught. They came and they went, and their wisdom meant nothing. But in the ninth verse he says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has it heard, neither had it ever entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Why couldn't it enter into Him? Because the princesses and their domains that came and went and ruled, they were all spiritually dead. It was impossible for it to enter into their heart. So he said it didn't. But now in the 10th verse, "that God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit." So everybody says, well, is he talking about the Holy Spirit there, that he's revealing it to us by? Here he's talking about that born-again spirit that he's given to you and that nature to understand him with. In the verse before, when they were spiritually dead, kingdoms come and went, and I hadn't heard nor had entered into the heart of man the things God had prepared for them that love him. Well, now that I have been born again, I have a heart that those things can now enter into. The mystery of everything Christ is in me, to me, and through me, the hope of glory. You said this is not talking about the Holy Spirit? No, it's not. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. When God doesn't search Himself, what do you think? You think the Holy Spirit searches the Father? What do you think? You think the deity of Jesus searches the other two? They don't search each other. They're omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing without time, and omnipotent, all-powerful. All three of them possess the same attributes, and they know all the same things. They don't have to search each other. You're the one that received the Spirit that now could search the fathomless depths of God because you have a nature to search Him with. Hallelujah. I have a nature I can search Him with now. Glory be to God forever. That's why He said, the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So He said, my human spirit is God's candle. Well, that was literally a prophecy given by David for our day about when we were born again. So here comes God and He says, what is your human spirit to me? He says, the Spirit of man is my candle. So when you were born again, what did He do? He stepped forward and lit your spirit with a new nature. And now He can use that new nature to teach you with, to search all the inward parts of your belly. So God says, hey, your new nature is the part of you that you can understand me with, so I can go in and search all the inward parts of your belly by comparing my nature to yours and showing you what you need from me.
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Holding that 10th verse again. God's revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God can know no man, but that Spirit of God that is in him, which is the born again human spirit. So when He said in the 11th verse, what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? He was saying, how do you have a capacity to know anything outside of your spiritual depth? You can't understand or know anything outside of your nature. So He says, what knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him? So if I'm spiritually dead, I'm only limited to know the things of my spiritual death. How do I have a capacity to explore anything outside of that? That's why Paul said, is the law sin? He said, God forbid, I had not known sin, save the law said, thou shalt not covet. Well, the spiritually dead man didn't even know what sin was until God came along and said, stop coveting. And he tried to stop and couldn't. Why? Because the spirit of an unregenerated man has no way to explore outside of that nature. So he couldn't know God. What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man that's in him? But now that you've been born again, what man can know the things of God now, except that new nature that is in your born again spirit now can begin to search the deep things of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Somebody stop me. Well, I'm stoppable because I know how to go in now. I can remember when he first opened this up to me. All of a sudden, the poor King James translators just didn't know what to do with this verse, so they put a little S in there. Now look at the next verse. 11 and 12 together. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God no man can know but by the Spirit of God, that born-again human spirit. Now, we receive not the spirit that's of this world. That's not the spirit the first man Adam gave us that was spiritually dead. That's not the one we're getting from God. But we receive the spirit which is of God. Now notice when he said the spirit which is of God, he capitalized it with a little S. Because they just didn't know quite what to do with it. Well, they shouldn't have capitalized any of those. Because they were all talking about the same thing, not just here. the way I just start in with this verse, just to show them the capacity of their born-again spirit, I'll say, now look, this is how I reason with them until they understand. I said, now look, if you think that's the Holy Spirit he's talking about, we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is of God, that we can know now the things that are freely given to us by God. Well, that's the way most all of us preached it in the early days, because nobody preached it any different. We said that was the Holy Ghost, even though he put a little S on that, because the King James translators got into deadlock right here in this chapter and just didn't know what to put in there or what not to put in there. Well, thank God Butler took an extended course on the Greek somehow. Not only was Butler ever able to break it down according to the way it was used in the text, but there was some other rule that you walk by. And he was using that, and he found out that by the Spirit, I translated all of it accurately, also in Romans 8. And I said, well, I did it by revelation. But notice that verse very closely. He said, for we receive not the spirit that's of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. Well, if that's talking about the Holy Ghost, why did he have to tell you that that precious Holy Spirit, which he called Holy, 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 Holy Spirit, why did he have to take a verse and tell you that it wasn't the devil you got? Why did he do that? You received not the spirit that's of this world. Oh, I didn't? Which one did I get? The precious Holy, Holy Spirit? Why would you have to tell him that it was him that I received? You think you would know that was the Holy Spirit that you received? So the spirit that was of this world was talking about the spirit that I inherited from the first man Adam that was spiritually dead. I inherited his death. He says, but the one we received from God, I now have his nature and I can know the things that are freely given to us of God now. Why? Because I now have a nature to understand them. Now, I went over this very quickly. I didn't even take time to make anybody mad. So we could take these next few verses further than we ever had before. Follow me very, very closely now into the next step. 13th verse. Which things also we speak? What things? He's talking about the things we can freely know of God. Paul said, now we're speaking and teaching on them now. The things that was once hid in the mystery. But Paul went into God and pulled that wisdom out. Because he's saying we have God's nature now and a capacity to understand spiritual things. So now he's saying which things also we speak or we teach now, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. All right, he said which things we teach. This knowledge of God that can only be understood now by that new nature and by your spirit. Not in the words that man's wisdom teaches, the kingdoms that come and go. He says, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. Now when he says, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, what Paul was saying, that I was first taught these things by the Holy Spirit, which I taught you then. He says, not in words that man's wisdom teaches, but in words the Holy Ghost teaches. And what he's really making reference here is that first, I prayed in tongues, and it was that language that God used, that revelation gift, to teach me the mysteries of God by comparing the spiritual things of God to spiritual, by comparing spiritual to spiritual, which means the things of God's nature now to my new nature. So the Holy Ghost, your teacher, used that supernatural language of tongues to edify Paul and teach him the mysteries that was once hid in God. And now Paul is taking those same mysteries and teaching them to anybody that wants to hear them.
But when the Holy Ghost taught those to Paul, he compared spiritual to spiritual, just like when Paul's teaching you, he compares the spiritual things of God to that new nature in you so you can understand them. So he says spiritual to spiritual. Well, the Holy Ghost used that whole supernatural language of edification to continually compare the spiritual things of God to the Apostle Paul's new nature until he wrote them all down. And that's what you have in a book. I want you to notice something. He said, in the language that the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual to spiritual. Well, now, when he said compare spiritual to spiritual, then the Holy Ghost, enabled to teach you, he has to have something to compare it with. To compare spiritual to spiritual, draw a line. And on this side is heaven and all the mysteries of Christ. And on this side is you, and you're standing here, and God's going to compare something he has to something you already have, or there's no comparison. To compare something, there has to be two sides of the fence. There has to be something to compare it to. So this is what he's saying, comparing spiritual with spiritual. He's saying the Holy Ghost can now take all the things of God and the nature of God, cross over to your side. You've been born again. You got the nature of God. So now he can use your nature to compare the things of God with, because you have his nature. Now you can understand them. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. So this is the capacity I now have. Well, no wonder the Holy Ghost bypassed your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and stepped straight into your new nature. And he has a nature like the nature that's in your spirit, because he has the same nature as the Father and the Son has. He's God, the Holy Spirit. So now he has a nature just like yours. So here you're praying in the Holy Ghost. And you pray all those mysteries down. So the Holy Ghost is then able to take those mysteries and cross over to your side of the fence, where you have that capacity to understand him with your nature, and begins to compare these things of your spirit with the things of God, till baby piranha says, "Okay, Mom, you don't have to say much. I can strip that cow myself." Because he has the nature of a piranha. Go do it. I'm proud of you, son. Meanwhile, Mama Goldfish is saving a lot of money on toothbrushes and toothpicks. Toothbrushes and toothpicks. So here, that he compared spiritual to spiritual. Now think. In the language the Holy Ghost teaches. I think comparing spiritual to spiritual, there is no comparison. You compare twins, they're just alike. You can compare one twin with the other. Well, the Holy Ghost would have nothing to compare the things of God with had you not a new nature. So he simply identified that part of God, spirit to spiritual, to the part of you which now has that capacity, and that part of God which makes you a spiritual man, because you have a new nature. So get it. That new nature is the part of you that understands him. And it's the only part of you that can understand the things of God. But when you feed that new nature, he begins to grow. He starts influencing your reasonings and your emotions and your choices, and they'll become more godly, and you'll begin to conquer and make more right decisions as you learn how to walk out of that new nature, as the Holy Ghost becomes your personal teacher and nurturer and causes you. Whew. Glory be to God. I don't know how we missed this. These are the verses we leave out. comparing spiritual to spiritual. Well, in the next verse, he jumps back to the natural man to make another comparison. He shows you what he's doing in that verse by jumping back to the natural man, compares the natural man to the spiritual man then. 14th verse. But, he said, just trying to get this point over to you, that the Holy Spirit can teach your spirit man because he has something to compare the things of God to. So he jumps back and forth to prove his point one more time in case you haven't got it by now. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God.
What part of the natural man is he talking about? Just my flesh?
No, he's talking about a man that hasn't been born again, who has a sin nature, and that sin nature is the only thing his mind has to understand God with, so he can't understand him. The only thing he can understand is by faith. You need to give your heart to God because you're a sinner and Jesus really needs to save you. That's about the only thing he can have faith for. Now notice the natural man what? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness to that little piranha when the mama goldfish has him. Their foolishness. She wants him to play with his friends, and he wants to eat them. He says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Well, why not? Because they're only spiritually discerned by your new nature, the part of you that's like God. So in case you didn't catch it, he made one more comparison. He just didn't say you didn't receive the Spirit that's of this world, but you receive the born-again Spirit that's of God, that you may know the things that are freely given to you by God, which things we teach, not in the words of men's wisdom in the world, but in a language the Holy Ghost has taught us, who's compared the things of God to our new nature. For your natural, unregenerated men cannot understand the things of God, because they're understood spiritually by your new nature. The more you pray in tongues, the more comparison will be made, and the more you'll understand God's Spirit to your spirit until your whole being is ordered by Him. Are you listening to me? Your whole being. Praying in tongues is a revelation gift. The last part of this. But he that's spiritual... He that's spiritual is able to judge all things. Why? Because he has been taught by that new nature, the Holy Ghost comparing the things of God to his spirit. But he that's spiritual judgeth all things. Now, you didn't go in there and particularly pray this mystery out yourself. I did. I didn't receive any of these teachings from any man. But I was able to get them from Paul, who received them from God. He's a man. But I didn't receive them from anybody alive on the earth now. Now I may have if I'd have found somebody. But I didn't find anybody. But when I taught you these things, well, then you had a capacity spiritually to understand them. So I got to be a teacher who took the things of God and compared them to your new nature. So you was able to discern them and understand them and begin to operate in them. Well, I had to go, I was trying to figure out what Paul said, and I had to keep praying in the Holy Ghost until I understood what he said. Well, I understand it now. The other day, I broke down and almost cried. Because I heard testimony after testimony after testimony. They come up to the tape table. We sold 3 or 4 cases of books. We sold them all out. People just grabbed them up. People come up with testimonies about what the book was doing, and they just couldn't stand it. So immediately they thought of people that was having problems understanding the Holy Spirit. Well, it changes people where it finds them. I heard testimony after testimony after testimony. I just wept and wept.
and wept. Because he said to me, son, what would you do if Paul hadn't left his legacy behind, his letters? I said, oh God. Just some statue of him broken up in front of some pillar. We just would have heard about him as a saint on the apostles in due season. I said, I don't know what I'd have done if he had not left those teachings behind, because those teachings changed my life, where they found me 2,000 years after he's gone. I said, God, I just wept, and I said, I don't know what I'd do. He said, listen to me close now, son. He said, whether you're doing a 1-minute teaching, don't just get up and say something nice. People have problems and they don't have answers. I hear so much preaching, it makes me want to cry. I always judge it by walking away saying, what can I do with what I heard? Most of the time, nothing. He said, I don't care if it's a 1-minute teaching. He says, you give them an answer. He said, I don't care if it's 15 minutes, you give them an answer. My people's dying from lack of knowledge, even though they're saturated with what we'd say the word. Many, many people, you know, have went on to take the very principles that they were teaching and use it to attempt to serve greed with and things like that. And I'm not the one that judged it. You know, I'm not the one. I'm just repeating the judgment. So he said, if it's 15 minutes, he said, you give an answer. You give something that'll change their lives. See, and that's what the Apostle Paul, and that's why we don't understand them. They're spiritual letters. And they change your life from the core. And if you can understand anything he said, they'll absolutely set you free from either else teaching us the danger of the law and getting out from under it, as in his day. Or how the Holy Spirit Himself has become our teacher and can take the things of God and slowly feed them into our nature, because we now have a nature that can discern the things of God and understand Him. And He's come to guide us into all truth. He said, son, he told me, no matter what you do in school, and the things you write and the things you teach, you always leave them with an answer. And like the book, if for some reason we're off on our millennials, somebody celebrated about 1,000 years and didn't change the calendar. just in case it's going to be 100 years longer than we thought. Wherever our stuff finds anybody, it'll keep launching preachers into power. And it'll keep changing people's lives. And that's what he told me. And I just wanted to weep. All right, let's look at this last verse then. Hallelujah. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Well, that means that you're able to discern things in the light of the nature that he's give you according to his nature and his teaching. So it's pretty hard to be judged from the outside when you're being taught from the inside. So then he says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that they may instruct him? But we have the what? Now, in case you think that Jesus' mind mystically floated down on the end of a string, you think, boy, suddenly when I was born again, I suddenly received his mind. And I know everything that he knows. Because he said that I have the mind of Christ. So boy, his mind just floated into me. This is what some of them base the teaching on, that once you're born again, receive a new nature. You already know everything there is to know about God, and just your soul needs to be transformed. Wrong. Your spirit has to be taught. It doesn't already know everything.
But it says we have the mind of Christ.
I know he said that.
So I got Christ's mind, so I know everything. I know, because I have his mind.
The closest thing you have to his mind, the closest thing you have to his mind in the way you think that stands, is the Holy Ghost, whom does not speak of himself, but what he hears is what he says. So the Holy Ghost represents the mind of Christ. So he represents the mind of Christ in you. But that's still not what he's talking about. Because he said, you have the mind of Christ. Well, do I have it in the Holy Ghost? Yes, I do. The Holy Ghost is there in me with the mind of Christ because that's what he's teaching me. But that's still not the mind of Christ that I have that he said I have. Now, I have the mind of Christ in the Holy Ghost, but I don't have the knowledge of all the mind of Christ yet. But I plan on having all he can teach me before I go home.
Hallelujah.
Everything pertinent to this walk in this body before I'm glorified is mine.
Yes.
I mean, I want to line all the kids in wheelchairs and mongoloid or Down syndrome. I'll line them all up. I know what was in his mind. I want him to transfer it to mine. The question is, can I receive what's in his mind? Yes, I can. Why? Because I have the mind of Christ.
Well, what do you mean? Floated down out of heaven?
No. No, I don't. That's not what I mean. This is what I mean. I have the Spirit of Christ. I used to have the Spirit of Adam. Now, I didn't have Adam's human spirit. I have my own. But I inherited the death nature from Adam. But I didn't have Adam's spirit. I had my own spirit. But I inherited his death nature. For by this man's sin, or transgression, sin entered the world, death by sin, and in his transgression, in that all have sinned. So the whole human race inherited the spiritual death that was in Adam. So I have Adam's spirit. I don't have his individual spirit. I have my own, but I have a spirit like his because I had his nature. But I don't have that anymore. Now, whose spirit do you have? I have the spirit of the second Adam, which is the spirit of Christ. Well, I don't have Jesus' personal human spirit. I have my own, but I have now the nature that is in Christ. It is in me. So I have the spirit that is of Christ. I don't have his human spirit. I have my own, but I have the nature that's in him. I have my own spirit, but I have his nature. But I also now have the mind of Christ. Do you think that your spirit floats around without a mind? I have the spirit of Christ. I have the mind that goes with the spirit of Christ. That is a spiritual mind. I have the mind that Christ has in his spirit that is in my spirit. It's not his mind, it's my spirit. It goes with my spirit, but it is the mind that goes with the new creation, the mind of Christ. In other words, a mind that is now able to understand and discern spiritual things because I have his nature. So the Holy Ghost can teach me what's in the mind of Christ because I have that mind born into my new creation spirit when I was born again. So I have a mind like Christ that has a capacity to receive the things of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Well, the mind of Christ is just that mind that goes with the new creation, the hidden man of the heart. When you were regenerated, that's the mind you received. The same one that's in Christ is just like his, looks like his, and in its humanity has a capacity like his. So now the Holy Ghost can take the mind of Christ and put it into you because you have a holder that's just like his to receive it. Who makes me wonder what I can know? Somebody stop me before I get too much further down the road. Well, at one place, I'm going to find out what he had. I could just empty wheelchair after wheelchair. I'm going to find out because I have a capacity to understand it now. People quote that verse,
"I hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard the things God prepared."
Yeah, but then the guy got born again and says, "But God's revealed them to us by His Spirit." So that day's over. Yeah, so that mind of Christ. That's right. That's a mind that's just like Jesus. It's just like the one He had when He first appeared on this earth, with a sin-free nature and a mind in that Spirit. So that's what you received. Looks just like His, and will receive just like His. Hallelujah.